B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12:02. And you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. Who would have thought, Pat, that we would be talking poisoning today?
Well, we got the audio, the pizza guy.
We do have the... All right. This is great. This is... Barstool had it. I don't know... What radio station?
From 1280 The Zone.
1280, is that in Salt Lake City?
Oh, yeah. It's Salt Lake City's number one sports station, obviously.
All right, good. Well, listen, give them props. So they get the assistant manager who claims to have made the... How do you vet that?
You don't.
Really?
You don't. You take the guy's word for it.
How do you vet that? You go, how do I know you're the guy, right? Why do I know, of all the people in Salt Lake City, how do I know you're the guy who made the pizza? Anyway, they claim he's the guy. So take a listen. This is the dude who says he did not poison the Michael Jordan pizza.
That's a bunch of crap. It's one of those things where I'm like, well, great. Did you get it diagnosed? Did you go to the doctor and find out? No, all this is innuendo on their part. And they're like, of course it was food poisoning. But one thing I remind everybody is he was smoking so many cigars. They had windows open. He didn't have a shirt on or he's in a tank top or whatever. All the guys were. But as you guys know darn good and well, at around 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Park City, the sun's gone behind that mountain. So it gets colder up there than it does. Chances are he had this, or they could have brought him food from somewhere else if it really was food poisoning. But that pizza was made well. I followed all the rules. Heck, I was at the time. I was so busy trying to impress to become the store manager there. I followed all the rules and all the food handlers' permits, all that kind of crap. Or not permits, but the teachings, if you will. So anyway, yeah, I'm 100% certain it wasn't food poisoning, or it sure as heck wasn't that pizza.
There it is.
My man's going in for that managerial spot. I can't be afforded to make him bad pizza.
I mean, listen, he sounds all legit, right?
I guess.
He goes, those dudes had the windows open, and they were in their undershirts. That all sounds legit to me. Smoking cigars. Now, what's he peeking?
So, I listened to a little bit of it, and he said that...
Did he actually come in the suite?
He opened up, he knocked on one door, and they asked who it was for, and he said he didn't know it was for room whatever. But when they opened up that first door, he saw a couple of guys. And then they said, oh, that's for Mike. It's down the hall. And he went down to that room, knocked on the door, and that's when the trainer who doesn't feel the need to take the bullet for Mike and eat the bad pizza that he's worried about, that's when he opened up the door. And he said he didn't see Mike, but the guy barely opened up the door, handed the money, and grabbed the pizza, and that was it.
Well, he sounded legit to me.
To me, it seemed like a guy who wanted his 5 seconds of fame.
Okay. Well, you heard the whole thing.
Yeah. Nobody needed to know that he was the pizza guy. they didn't mention the pizza place. They didn't mention what the pizza guy looked like.
They didn't say he was the hut.
They never said it. They never said a thing. Guy comes out and puts the bullseye on himself. He says he didn't do it, but how many people are believing him?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of like when your teacher in college says, like, all right, I'm not going to name names, but man, this project here is terrible. It's the worst. And the guy pops up and goes, well, that's not fair. It's my project. Nobody knew. Nobody knew it was yours. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let the mystery just sit there.
I've never eaten the hut pie.
Oh, I've eaten the hut.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
It's
in my tax bracket.
The commercials, like, not so much recently, because I don't think they do as many commercials now. But back in the day, there would always be a lot of hot commercials.
Yeah,
because they were weren't they like the original them and Domino's?
Yeah, them and Domino's are the original kind of chain pizza place.
And they would have more of the Domino's was never eat in, right? Like the hut was eat in.
Yeah, yeah, they don't really have many of those anymore. I think there's one in Aston where you can eat in, but they're very rare.
Right.
But, I like the hut. I like the...
I've never had the hut.
The pretzel crust that they have is delicious. Wish more places would do it. It's real nice.
The pretzel crust?
Yeah, they have a pretzel crust.
Yeah, they mess with the crust too much.
Ah, see, the pretzel crust is a nice item. I mean, I haven't been to the Hut in a while.
Even imagine the pretzel crust.
I'm more of like a I don't like the pretzel bun. Oh, I like the pretzel bun.
Yeah.
Oh, big pretzel bun guy. Pretzel dog is a nice item from the Philadelphia Pretzel Factory.
No,
I like
listen,
pretzel dog.
The Pretzel Factory pretzel dog is a fine item.
It's really good.
No, I agree with you.
Real
there.
Strong.
Non-pretzel-making places. Like, if you're like the Philly Pretzel Factory, they make pretzels.
So you're...
So I'm down with the pretzel dog is a great item. I agree with you.
You're not getting pretzel nice items from places that aren't known for their pretzels.
Exactly.
Okay, I get you on that.
So that's why I'm a little on the pretzel crust. And I've never been really the chain. Like, we have so much pizza in Philadelphia.
Yeah, we do.
Like, our local joints that there was never, you're in Salt Lake City. Yeah. I guess now there's probably a few joints, but you got chains. And you in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind a chain pizza place, but I have like Alex's Pizza near me in Roxborough. I got Santucci's around the corner, so I have like really good pizza places.
Now, the pizza loyalty, is still, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, the only time I'll go to a chain place if I have a coupon. Like a nice coupon, a nice 50% off or something. I'll do a chain pizza.
I was laughing because. We had this conversation, and my buddy still has memorized the pizza shack from we used to order from back in the day.
Has the number memorized?
Yeah.
Jesus, how much did you guys go there?
No, and I had, do I remember it? 336, it was DE6. There was a place called Florida Style, and it made Inside Outs.
What the hell is Florida Style?
I don't know, it was the name of the joint, right?
You had a bad mugshot afterwards? Is that Florida Style?
It was just the name of the place. But they used to make the greatest item to this day. It's like a deathbed. It would be on my deathbed menu. Like, if I had to go, I'm like, I got to get a couple of these before I'm out. It's the Inside Outs. It's Panzerotti's.
And where's this place at?
It's on 21st and Snyder.
Okay. You still go there a lot?
No. They now do wholesaling.
Okay.
They now do the wholesaling. But it was like, I was just having this conversation about with my buddy Boo. Like, we would watch the New Year's Day game, like the Nikon games. And it used to be the ball games were all on TV, like everyone, the Fiesta Bowl. Now it's staggered, right? But back then, it would be on New Year's night. It would be on, Fiesta Bowl, Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and I used to bring him over his house, and we used to get the Inside Outs. Big games, the best. You ever had an Inside Out?
No, I usually just stick
Florida
with...
Florida-style Inside Out?
No, Panzerotti. No, I haven't had it.
No, but pizza loyalty is a big deal.
Oh, absolutely it is.
It really is a big deal. When you call up, it's like, do the right thing. I was talking about that last night with my cousin.
Oh, Sal's Pizza.
Right. It's my pizzeria. But Mookie would go there. He wouldn't go anywhere else. He would go to Sal's.
I'm like that with, not that I won't go anywhere else.
So you got to give me your pizza loyalty. So your pizza loyalty is in Roxborough.
Yeah.
What is it?
Alex's. Yeah. Right. It tastes like pizza from the boardwalk. It's great.
Does it really?
Yeah, and it's great because it's like an old school pizza place. They only take cash. They only have pizza. And
wow, so no family, steak sandwiches?
No, no, but it's just, it's family owned. It's a small, nice place in the corner.
It sounds like a good pie.
Guy always gives my dog some dog treats, so shout out to the owner.
That's nice. No, we're gonna. In fact, we should celebrate this week pizza loyalty.
Yeah, that's my spot.
And I don't know, the Michael Jordan pizza poisoning.
Yeah, give us good pizza.
There's a reason why you go back to the same place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about how you're treated, but also the food, obviously.
Pizza loyalty is a big deal.
It's a community thing.
It is a community. You're right. I agree with you.
I'm kind of like that with cheesesteaks in a way where I'll go other places with cheesesteaks, but like I have it even in my Twitter bio. I mean, my favorite cheesesteak is... I'll go to war over that. I'll go to war over people arguing about the favorite cheesesteak. It's one of the few things that, like, I actually get really insanely passionate about is cheesesteaks.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a little ridiculous with that, yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I get crazy over the cheesesteak. If you mention a place that I don't think is good, I immediately start picking apart your opinion, even though it's your opinion. Wow. I start telling you why you're wrong.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm a big steak sandwich fan myself.
I'm kind of like a J.O. when it comes to the cheesesteak argument.
I got news for you. We've never had this discussion. We may have this discussion because I'm a big fan. Big fan of the steak. That's a deathbed item too for me. If you're going to go, now I can go for one. I've been good. I haven't had one in forever. And now I want one. 610-632-0975. Coming up, you don't want to miss this. This is going to be the playback. All right? It's Sixers-Lakers. Let's throw back to the NBA Finals. The last time the Sixers won, 1983. That's coming up next. You don't want to miss it, man. I am excited for this. Doc Moses. Andrew, do you know that Jay Billis was asked to rank his top five all-time NBA teams? He has the Bulls, number one. He's got the 83 Sixers, number four. How about that? Pat, number four. Amazing. All right, let's talk about DraftKings, shall we? Because the big... match is coming up this weekend. The GOAT versus the GOAT. Manning versus Brady. Legend versus the legend. Woods and Mickelson, the whole thing. So, DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino, you got it right there. All you want. The odds, hole-by-hole betting, whatever you want, it's right there. They have all kinds of great deals, great matches. Whatever you're looking for, and have some fun betting some golf. In fact, you have the they have a great promotion running. If you place $20 in bets on the big event, you receive a free $20 live bet. So you bet 20 and you get 20. And by the way, special sign up offer going on right now where you get up to $1,000 when you sign up. You're not a big golf fan? Don't worry about it. DraftKings Sportsbook Casino has you covered. DraftKings Sportsbook has recently launched a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. Hundreds of options, including blackjack, roulette, and much more. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app now. Use code FANATIC when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings has a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Don't forget, enter code FANATIC and get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. Got to be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Hey, coming up at 1 o'clock, we're going to play some Doug Peterson. Doug had a Zoom with the media, so we'll play Doug Zoom with the media. So we'll talk a little Eagles football with Doug. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. But first, I'm real excited. This is in my wheelhouse. A young teenage cuz, can't wait. I was a young fella, just a young boy, when the Sixers and the Lakers and the Sixers won it. This is awesome, man. I can't wait. And here it is, Sixers and Lakers, May 22nd. 1983, game one of the finals, live from the Spectrum. Dick Stockton and Bill Russell on the call. It's amazing how the coverage was back in the day. The game was on CBS, and it didn't start airing until there was 7.5 minutes left in the first quarter. Think about how insane that is. Not only did they not show the opening tip, they missed 5 minutes of a finals game. How outrageous is that? Listen as Brent Musburger welcomes you to the game and then hands it off to Stockton and Russell.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Brent Musburger, and the Dream Series here in Philadelphia is underway. The 76ers lead by two. The men who will describe the action, Dick Stockton and Bill Russell. Let's go quickly to Dick.
Thank you, Brent, and we have 7 minutes and 34 seconds to go in the first period of a 10-8 game. Philadelphia leading, and Jamal Wilkes has tied the score for the Lakers. It is a game in which Los Angeles has gotten off to a slow start shooting. Philadelphia has been able to break, and the 76ers, marked by Julius Erving, who has 2.3 assists and a blocked shot already, have the early lead.
Wow. Hey, Pat, is that outrageous?
I can't get over that. I mean, you're waiting to watch the NBA Finals, and you got to wait for Murder, She Wrote or something to finish up?
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's unfathomable. Incredible.
That just tells you how far sports has come in our society.
Man, amazing. Yeah, it does. You're right on. All right, we'll start with back-to-back buckets. First, at Norm Nixon. For the Lakers, and then on the other end, it's Moses. Count the bucket.
They go to Kareem, double teamed by Richardson and Malone, and Norm Nixon hits the shot. Last year in the series between Nixon and Cheeks, Norm had the measure of Maurice Cheeks, and the Lakers will need his outside shooting, particularly with McAdoo hurting.
Sure is. He has matured so much.
Malone goes up, whistle, basket goes out, and a foul. Well, that's the reason why Harold Katz went out and got Moses Malone for this series that we're seeing now.
Wow. Spectrum. Rocket. Six is up early in the first quarter. They do it with defense. Moses with the steal. And then Andrew Tony with the bucket. Time out, Lakers.
Now the Lakers. 2-on-1 against Malone. Kareem. And Moses Malone took the ball away. That's got to be discouraging, Rob.
Yeah, they had 2-on-1. They thought they had it. And it's been a 4-point play.
The two they didn't get, and the two they got with Andrew Tony. Malone broke up the 2-on-1 right here.
Now, here's a good defense play by Moses. He stops Kareem, makes a guy pass, he knocks the ball loose, and comes up with it, and starts up court. That's them guard number two. Nine in a row run off by the Sixers. That was 4:20 to go in the first period. They lead by nine.
All right, still in the first quarter. Let me tell you something. You heard from Andrew. You're going to hear from Andrew a lot. Maybe the most underrated criminal cut short career in the history of Philadelphia. A surefire Hall of Fame talent. He had 14 in the first quarter here with back-to-back buckets.
First period from the Spectrum, game one of the World Championship. Good fake by Tony. He faked out Nixon. Tony has 12 points, far and away the high score so far. Kareem is 4-for-4. The rest of the Lakers are now 3-16 from the field. So Kareem is a lone ranger out there for L.A. offensively. Under a minute to go in the first period. Tony takes it in. And it counts. What a first quarter for Andrew Tony.
Wow, you're the crowd, Pat. You know what's crazy, though? It doesn't feel as big as like a finals would today, you know?
I mean, yeah, I think the fact that it starts 7 minutes into the game.
Well, right, even beyond that, just like, because you have Stockton, but you know, you don't have like three guys. Bill Russell barely speaks.
Yeah, you know? It definitely doesn't feel, it doesn't feel right for an NBA finals game.
Right.
Listening back to it, even Stockton is very, I mean, you're supposed to be even keeled, but he's very monotone.
He is. And Bill Russell's, you
know, there's like no energy.
And he's horrible, too, Bill Russell. He's terrible. Hated Bill Russell. Sixers lead 30-20 after the first quarter. Remember, Moses said fo, fo, fo. And they were 4-5, looking for the foe, number one of the foe, up by 10. But the Lakers come back quickly in the second quarter. Take a listen.
6-point lead for Philadelphia. They have outplayed the Lakers, but only have a 6-point lead. Tony. Landsberger's crashing the boards. He didn't come down with that one, but he's a present. Magic again. Landsberger.
That's the reason that they don't want Magic going from coast to coast. Even if he doesn't make it, he has a soft shot, and he comes up with a pretty easy offensive rebound.
It's a 4-point game now, and 6 in a row run off by the Lakers.
All right, there you have it. Hey, one quick news item. The Belmont Stakes has been set for June 20th. So a month from tomorrow, the Belmont Stakes, without fans, and the race will serve for the first time in history as the opening leg of the Triple Crown. So the Belmont Stakes, June 20th, that's just been announced as we continue to arc toward normalcy. All right, Lakers cut the lead, Sixers lead to 1. They need somebody to come step back up. And here he is, the Doctor.
They double-team Kareem. Nixon, top. And Philadelphia has the ball and the one-point lead. Under 7 minutes. 7:09 remaining. Julius misses. His own rebound. And a big basket. Irving drew the charge at one end and got the basket on a follow-up at the other end.
All right, vintage Sixer break next. Moses with the rebound goes up court, and in case you never saw him, Bobby Jones, number 24, hanging in the rafters, the Adam's apple of his neck protruding, popping out as he dunks on the break.
They double team Kareem. Nixon, top of the key. Malone just scared it away. Eighth rebound for Malone. Open court, Julius. Bobby Jones. Have they ever worked together in the past?
That was awesome. That was vintage Sixer fast break. But on the 3 minutes left in the first half, Lakers come all the way back and take their first lead of the game, courtesy of Silk Wilkes.
Malone is doubled by Rambis. And Rambis, they did their job. Get it out to Nixon. Under 3 minutes to go. And a chance for the Lakers to take their first lead of the game. Nixon. And a good save by Clay Johnson. And Jamal Wilkes puts the Lakers in front on Clay Johnson's great save to Wilkes. First lead of the ball game.
Yeah, I'm sure the whole city went getting nervous there. Lakers going to the break. They lead by one at halftime. But you get some stellar defense by the doctor coming up. Blocking Magic on one end and Maurice Cheeks scoring on the other.
Julius doubled. Tony over with. Green knocks it out, and Jamal Wilkes, who has three personal fouls, this is Magic Johnson. Johnson has his shot blocked by Julius Erving, and Ivoroni has it. Good play by the doctor.
He's been acting superb defense of the day. He must have blocked three or four shots already.
Cheeks trying to get going. They want him to get off, and Mo Cheeks hits his first shot of the period.
All right, so game's tied at 64 in the third quarter, and a man who was ranked 15th on this list, I actually think he's underrated. Julius takes over. Julius Winfield Erving III. Sixers go on a 9-0 run, and here it is.
64-0. 8.5 to go. Rambis. Block. Nixon.
It's crazy.
And Cheeks wins that fight.
Feels like it's
awesome. Goes away, and Maurice Cheeks. Blocked by Julius Erving. Four block shots by Julius Erving in this ball game. Sixers. Ivoroni. Keeps it going. Block for Phillips. The doctor against Magic. Easy one. To 64. LA
Sixers are blocking everything. Passing shots and the aisles.
They're blocking everyone but the people coming into the spectrum. Philadelphia scored seven in a row. Wilkes to Nixon. Skyhook. And the Sixers keep it running. 7.5 to go. Third period. Maurice Cheeks inside. Love it in the spectrum.
Wow. You got me fired up, Pat. You got me fired up, man.
It's amazing to me how bad their microphones are.
Yeah, they're terrible. It sounds ancient, doesn't it?
Drowned out by the crowd.
I know. It sounds completely ancient.
And with all due respect to the crowd back then, I mean, I'm sure it was great, but it couldn't be better than crowds today. You know what I mean? It's not like they were louder.
I know.
It's just the mics are terrible.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
By the way, what's up with Dick Stockton calling it the third period?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, come
violation.
On, Dick. Be better.
I agree. Violation. All right, let's jump to the fourth quarter. Sixers up by 7. Bobby Jones misses a wide open layup. And the Lakers start to make it a game and make them pay.
Malone against Landsberger. Magic Johnson out of it.
Shooter's bounce.
Norm Nixon, who came alive in the playoffs. He had his lowest scoring average of his career this year in the regular season, but has emerged in the playoffs. He's in his last four.
Wow. Uh-oh. But Moses and a man named Clint Richardson, a valuable scorer off the bench, Clint Richardson, and the Sixers go on a run of their own.
Double team on Kareem. Ivoroni gets the rebound, and Philadelphia's biggest lead in the second half was 7. They have that right now. Jones off the rim, and he had an open shot from Clint Richardson. And now Magic Johnson with Cooper with a pull-up. There's a four-point.
Yes, and the guy missed his layup, and again,
Lansbury did an outstanding job on the boards today for the Lakers.
That was the first field goal for the Lakers in this period, and it comes with nearly half of it gone by.
It's amazing because all game long they came back. We forget, man. It's Showtime Lakers, right? This is an all-time. You want to talk about clash of titans in the NBA? Sixers Lakers. So just on the three to go in the game, it gets a little tight.
Stopped his latest string by the Sixers. 14 fouls on Philadelphia. Lakers already in the penalty. Cheeks and Tony in guard on defense. Bobby Jones and Irving up front and Clement Johnson. Norm Nixon over the top. Loose ball. Jamal Wilkes. Bobby Jones went scattered as they fought for the loose ball. 6-point game. Now here's where the Lakers have to play defense.
All right, so there's 20 seconds to go. Now the Lakers are down four. The spectrum is tense. Laker ball. They go to Kareem. I hate Kareem. They go to Kareem. And this will be the game. Can he cut it to two? Take a listen.
21 seconds on the clock. And the Lakers need 4 points to tie it up. Does not have to give up the ball anymore if the Lakers score. Jamal Wilkes trapped. Kareem skyhook. Rebound. Magic Johnson. He lost it to Bobby Jones. And a foul. They had a foul and they didn't have to worry about who to get. They just had to get someone in a hurry.
All right, so here's the deal. No, Kareem fouls. Sixers go on to win it. 113 to 107. Game one. Take a listen to Brent Musburger wrap it up.
For some final comments, let's go to our host, Brent Musburger and Kevin Lockery. Brent?
All right, Dick, thank you, and Bill Russell, nice job here this afternoon. And so for the first time since the Magic Johnson era began in Southern California, the Los Angeles Lakers have lost the first game on the road of a playoff series. And that is perhaps because of the San Antonio Spurs, who beat them in the Forum and forced a rugged sixth game in San Antonio. No alibis for the Lakers, but they were not as crisp today against the Philadelphia 76ers, who now are closing in on that championship that Julius Erving wants so badly. The final score, 113-107, Philadelphia over Los Angeles. For Dick Stockton, Bill Russell, Kevin Lockery, and Pat O'Brien, I'm Brent Musburger. So long, everybody.
All right, there it was. Dude, it's crazy. It does feel like it's ancient. Oh, my God. Game one of the 83 finals, the last Sixers championship. We'll play it out all week long. Game two tomorrow, all the way to game four on Friday, and the sweep of the Showtime Lakers. All right, we're to come back. We'll take your calls. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Got all kinds of stuff that we got going on. The the poisoning, which I can't get enough of, which is the best. Battle of the Generations, which has been better. We'll continue that conversation.
Just had some dry heaves.
And and coming up at 1 o'clock, you'll hear from Doug Peterson on his State of the Eagles. That's all straight ahead. Cuz Radio, Pat in for the Chunas, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
welcome back, Cuz Radio. Pat, he's in for the chewness as we hang out on this beautiful Tuesday in May, getting ready for Memorial Day weekend. Been all over the place. Today, in general, the big thing's been we've been doing the generations and which has been better and discussing some of the fun topics of, like, we have the three generations and 18 to 34. We've been doing 35 to 54 and 55 and over. And which sports generation has been the best? So kind of bat that around, giving each other must-see movies from our said generations. Eagles, Clowney, the report out of Seattle is that Clowney, Eagles are interested in Clowney, and of course they would be. And it's about money. And of course it would be about money as well. You'll hear from Doug Peterson coming up in just about 10 minutes. So you hear Doug, very interesting stuff that Doug talked today to the media. And been having some fun. Our playback all week long is Sixers, Lakers, the last basketball or NBA championship we've seen in Philadelphia. So we're having some fun with that. And it is amazing because we're taught so much of the Jordan has been this generational conversation and comparing and contrasting the past and the present. See, usually we don't have time to go back in the past, right? We're dealing with the present. We're dealing with Embiid and Simmons and the Sixers. We're dealing with Flyers. Are they for real? We're dealing with the Phillies and, of course, all the Eagles stuff all the time. So, you know, every once in a while, when it's slow, we may harken back at times. But because of the pandemic, we've been doing this a lot. The documentary brings us back. And for those people that weren't alive, they got a glimpse into the past and what it was like. And so this whole comparison organically takes place. It's what it is. So we're doing that this week, kind of looking back and forth. We're looking at the off the docuseries, the poison pizza, like it was ancient Florentine politics. And Jordan was poisoned. And I still, to this day, I haven't got one story about somebody being poisoned in Philadelphia. That can't be real. Somebody. I would be disappointed, Pat, if no one was poisoned. Not to death, but no one was poisoned in Philadelphia. Especially not a cowboy. Come on, man.
No, hot dog.
Seriously, man. Come on. Somebody's got to be poisoned. Let's go to, sorry. That was our show recap, Pat. Go ahead.
Yeah, the show recap is presented by Dietz and Watson. Dietz and Watson, if you want an absolute best of Real Philly hoagie, you got to visit a Real Philly deli. Find one near you at realphillydeli.com.
All right. You made me laugh with that. No. Oh, that's great.
This show's not poisoning anybody. Good people down there.
We will do our pizza loyalty tomorrow. All right? So, FYI. Let's go to Mark in Belmar. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, my brother? How you doing,
my
Mark?
My man. Well, you guys are just talking about cheesesteaks real quick, and I know you can confirm this one. Cosme's Deli, Ethan Dickinson.
Gotta try it, Pat, if you have it. Oh, without a doubt. Tremendous.
Sekia, come on. But to get to the Clowney point, I'm actually super excited to hear that. Obviously, for the right price, I don't think he's worth more than $10 million, to be honest. I guess maybe 11, 12 range. But, like, even though he hasn't produced, and even if we can't get Clowney, I would love a dude like Everson Griffin, considering in the past 6 years he's had, I think, twice the sacks, and they're both on the market. I think it was, like, 57 and 32 when you compare the two. But just when you look at Clowney, I like have an analogy. I guess I compare him to, like, Bryce Harper in a sense. He may not always make the play, but he's just a threat to be on the field, as Harper may not always hit the ball far, but he's a threat in the lineup. So I feel like Clowney would just be huge, man, to get some fresh legs on the outside. And I still feel like this team could win 9-10 games, but if we get Clowney, I mean, it's a disappointment if we don't win 10 games, right?
Yeah, man, I'm with you. And by the way, if you think about that D-line, having Clowney, having BG, right, and having the kid, I mean, with those
we're
three.
Legit.
And
we're
those,
legit.
Right, with those tackles, I mean, let's go. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I think he is so important. I don't care about the money. You got to go get him. That yep. that makes your line. You know what Schwartz likes to play with his defensive line, wide nine rush. You know, give him what he wants, and let's go play the Cowboys, defend the Cowboys.
Yeah, man, I feel like it also it'll take a ton of pressure off that opposite side safety of Slay. I mean, just the pressure,
yes.
the pressure on the quarterback, man. Guys like LeBlanc. And or Sidney Jones, and I feel like when it comes to that draft class of 17, Sidney Jones and Derek Barnett, I feel like this is their prove it year, man. So
I agree. I mean, I don't like Jones. I think Jones is lost cause.
See, I was feeling that way too, but he came up big in a couple times late in the season last year when it mattered, man. And I just give him some props for that. And with Barnett, if he could, I mean, he's obviously learned stuff from Graham over the past couple of years, but he'd get a guy like Clowney in there, learn some things. You know, that helps us all.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you. I'm holding out hope for Barnett. Because, look, the one thing he was able to do is he can get there from the outside. I mean, that talk about his bend is legit.
Of course.
I mean, you know he can get outside. I'm hoping he puts it all together.
Because
if he can put it all together, you get Clowney and you got BG. I mean, damn, man, that defense looks good.
Yeah, man, especially on paper. Obviously matters on Sundays, but on paper we're pretty damn good.
I agree, Marky. Good stuff.
I have movies for my generation. I mean, I'm only 22, but movies for my generation. You guys ever see The Town?
Great movie.
Yeah, definitely. Highly recommend. And when it comes to
I'm a big Jeremy Renner fan. He's good.
Okay, yeah. I think The Town is – people sleep on that movie, but it's always on HBO, and I always watch it. I've watched it multiple times.
No, it's entertaining. It gets a little ridiculous at the end with Fenway Park and shooting out of Fenway.
Yeah, of course.
But the first part was really good, and I'm not the biggest Affleck fan, but he's good. When he plays Boston, that's who he is.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
So it'd be like me playing Philadelphia person, right? So.
Yeah, and the greatest player I've seen ever play, I mean, I guess it would have to be LeBron, and he's definitely the coolest I've ever met in person. When the Sixers were going through the process, I guess I would just go to – because I would get StubHub ticket. I was a freshman in high school. I would get tickets on StubHub for like 75 cents, $2. I'm not even kidding. That's how cheap they were.
Yeah.
And I would just become friendly with the security guards. Still am. Low-key get down to the floor sometimes. And in the fourth quarter of it, when they played the Miami Heat, when they had the big three, I was sitting right next to the Heat bench, and LeBron gave me both of his I Promise wristbands. So I'm a big LeBron guy.
That's good, man.
Big LeBron guy, but I mean, after watching The Last Dance, it's kind of ignorant to think Jordan isn't the GOAT at this point in time.
Listen, I think he's a much better guy than Mike, without a doubt. You know,
of course,
totally good stuff, bro. Thank you,
pleasure,
man.
Brother.
Great call.
Thank you.
Great call, Mark. Great call. There's a meme making its way around now. It's completely slanted as an anti-LeBron meme. I do feel the need to read it but I'm gonna give you the real deal though, because it's slanted against LeBron. And I will tell you that a couple of these things, they kind of paint the wrong picture, but nevertheless, this is what it is. You ready, Pat?
I'm ready.
In 2007, Game one, in the fourth quarter, he scores 6 points and on 2-for-4 from the field, 0 points from the 6-minute mark to 45 seconds left in the game. In 2011, here's your fourth quarters. You ready? 2 points in game two, 2 points in game three, 0 points in game four, 2 points in game five. In 2014 finals, game four, 0 points. 2015 finals, game four, 0 points. In 2016, game five in the fourth quarter, 4 points, 2-for-7 shooting for the field. In game seven, 3 for 8 from the field. 1 point in the last 5 minutes of the game. In the 2017 finals, fourth quarter, game one, 2 points. Game two, 2 points. Game three, 2 for 6 from the field, 0 points the last 4.5 minutes of the game. Game four of the 2017 finals, fourth quarter, 2 points, 1 for 5 from the field. And finally, in the 2018 finals, game one, 0 points the last 31 seconds, 0 for 4 in overtime. Game two, fourth quarter, 2 for 3 from the field, 0 points in the last six and a half minutes of the game. And then finally, game four of the 2018 finals, fourth quarter, he shot 1 for 1 from the field, had 2 free throws, 0 points the last 5 minutes before going to the bench. So that's LeBron fourth quarter in those finals. Now, it was slanted against him. So just for instance, I mean, for example, in game one of the 2018 finals, where he had 0 points the last 31 seconds, and in overtime, he scored 13 in the third quarter when 13 before that in the fourth quarter when they were down by 6 going into the fourth quarter. And then finally, the other one was really negative, and he had 4 points, but he grabbed 6 points, and that's 5 assists. So take it for what it is. I give you both sides, Pat.
Yeah, I think it's a little LeBron hatred right there.
But in totality, there is a stark difference between Jordan fourth quarter and LeBron fourth quarter. Strictly points.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue it. The facts are the facts.
Right? I mean, that's all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.